to the Copper Country, Mihaela's journey. Did I pronounce Mihaela correctly?
Yes. In fact, that is how we say it. I did have some help with the Croatian pronunciations from a wonderful person at the World Bank, IMF, and she worked for the Croatian Herzegovina division, and so she helped me correct. Now, in modern Croatian, they pronounce it Mihaela, but there are other names that my family took liberties with, you know, how families do, and so there's also a character named Blaze, and that's how the family pronounces that, as opposed to Blaz. And I think probably a little American twist on it, because Blaze sounds a lot better than Blas. So that's how it evolved.
How factual is this? Is this your actual family history, or is there some fictional license here?
Well, there is some fictional license, but it is based quite a bit on my family story. My great-grandmother was a noted herbalist and healer. My great-grandfather did work in the mines, in the beginning of the Osceola mines. She did bring her children over and from Croatia, and they thought it was going to be a very temporary trip. And so most of the content is actually true as far as I could determine it. I did a lot of research, both through family records and through the outstanding historical record. So I tried to make it accurate. Of course, whenever you add dialogue to an historical story, it immediately becomes fiction. And so it is considered historical fiction, but a lot of it is true. There are some things that maybe aren't, but much of it is. So,
as a child, you spent summers in the UP. Where in the UP were you?
I think what it says is northern Michigan. A lot of times we spent in both the eastern and western parts of the lower peninsula. We started out by going to a wonderful place called Grand Lake, which is near Alpena. And then as I got older, we spent more time near Traverse City. But going up to the UP was a very special occasion. But it didn't happen as much as I wanted it to, because it was so far and it was hard to get there. So we had family reunions up there, and I returned as an adult to do some more research. So a lot of it is my oral history through that has been passed down through the family.
For our readers, potential readers of your book, describe the storyline.
Well, it's set in 1886, and the main character is a girl named Mihaela. She's 11 years old. And she embarks on a journey from their home in Croatia to the Keweenaw Peninsula, which is also known as the Copper Country. We've got the name. Mihaela's papa had made the trip 2 years before in order to work in the copper mines so that he could send home much-needed money. The farm was not able to sustain their growing family, and the family sort of decided that somebody needed to do something. So he elected to go, and he was able to make money and send it back home, which really helped. But a painful eye disease was a problem, and he consulted local doctors, and they were not able to cure him. So he had someone write for him, because he was illiterate, and asked that his wife come and bring all her best remedies. And so she said, okay, I'm going to go. And he said, bring the children. And they arrived thinking this would be a temporary trip, and in fact, there were many surprises waiting for them when they got there.
Yes, there were. I'm waiting for a part two, by the way, because I want to know how the school going part of it turns out, and living with the boarders, or I hope I'm not giving too much away. Does she reach a point of acceptance? Okay, I'm here. Does she get to love the Copper Country, or can you give me some hints?
For part two, well, it is a possibility. I guess we'll see what the response is out in the world.
The herbal remedies fascinated me too. They work with all kinds of different flowers, some of which match Croatia flora and some don't. Are those relatively factual?
Yes, actually, I did a lot of research about that. I researched herbs that were available in both areas so that there would be some familiarity, and she could logically say that, you know, she recognized something. There are similarities in the terrain. Many herbs are worldwide, so I made sure that I found things that would work. And I, one of my most recent sources was the University of Maryland School of Medicine, and they have an aspect of herbal medicine that verified some of the things that I was trying to work with.
Have you been to Calumet during the writing into that copper mining area? Maybe you can talk about how copper mining was then and what you might have found today.
Well, yes, I did go back. I toured some of the abandoned copper mines. They have some that are open to the public. Of course, there's no mining going on anymore, but there's a wonderful national park that links many of the sites in Calumet, that the Keweenaw National Park, that can tell the story way better than I can. They have a wonderful website, and if people are lucky enough to go up there, they'll get a wonderful immersive experience by seeing many of the locations. And there are also a lot of abandoned pieces of equipment around. I'm going to put some of those images on my website, because you can really feel kind of the ghosts of that era in place when you visit these places.
Oh, I can vouch for that. The short time I lived up in the Calumet area, I loved to take walks at night, and you could feel those spirits out there. You really could. So much of what was there then is still there now, although sadly some of the buildings are abandoned. Certainly population has dropped. Describe for us a little bit so we can get a feel of the life of miners, what that copper mining was like, and what the woman's role was like.
Well, it was a very hard life, a very difficult physically. There were many accidents in the mines, and one of the biggest problems was that at that time, there was no such thing as workers' compensation. So if a miner was injured, either his family took care of him, and if he couldn't work, then the family was in dire straits, because there weren't a lot of other employment opportunities, especially for women. The boarding house woman worked extremely hard. And I know that my great-grandmother put in tremendous long days, probably 16, 18 hours, without a lot of modern conveniences. And she was expected to wash the miners' clothing and provide meals, in fact, three meals a day. She had to pack lunches for them to take into the mine. So it was a very, very hard life.
And was it typical for the children not to be able to go to school because they were needed to do work at home?
Well, eventually they did go to school. Calumet had very good schools, but it was a language issue. Today's educational experience can accommodate kids who are not native English speakers, but the options weren't there in those days. So it took a while. They really did have to learn English first.
If you could also talk about that food. She prepares wonderful meals, and you've wonderfully included some recipes at the back of the book.
Pasties? I do on occasion. They're a special treat. We certainly loved those as we were growing up, and my grandmother, not my great-grandmother, my grandmother would make them. And my mother has given me these recipes, and we discussed it. Now, there's a kind of a joke in our family that she always left out something because no one's recipe ever tasted as good as hers did. But I hope that these will be satisfactory if people want to try them.
Oh, I fully intend to. Did you have a favorite pasty when you went up there? There's always debate on that. Where are the best ones?
Well, I guess it's the contents that we had our debates about, because
to rutabaga or not to rutabaga?
Yeah. We had to have rutabaga, and couldn't be ground beef. Now that was the big thing. It had to be diced sirloin. So that was, and no carrots either. So, so I think that's where I like all of them really, but that was the family tradition.
Yeah, now they seem to have branched out into vegetarian versions and whatnot. But, you know, the recipe you've got, I think, is the best one. I'm definitely going to try it.
Oh, thank you.
So your target audience for this, what age group is it for?
This book is geared to young readers ages 8 to 12.
That said, I have to say, I enjoyed it very much, even though I realized it was for a younger audience, but there's no reason why you can't read it at any age, and I'm a great deal over 12.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say.
talk to us a little bit about your own background, Barbara. You've done work with educational TV. You've created different kinds of programs. You've worked with National Geographic, which seems all like great preparation for this book. Tell us about your background.
Well, I started out as a history major at the University of Michigan, and I've always loved history. I just could never understand why everyone didn't love it, but I think it was because I grew up with these wonderful stories. Both my mother and father told great stories. And so I was hooked at a very young age with anything that began once upon a time. And to me, history is an extension of that. So I studied history, and then I became a history teacher, social studies. And then from there, I went into educational media. And so that gave me an opportunity to tell stories in a lot of different ways. And so it is an extension. I've had this story in my head for a long time, and just wanted to share it. And I hope it finds an audience.
I had to think, too, as I was reading this about the role of immigrants, which seems to be quite a hot topic these days. I wondered if you had anything to add to that, because when you read this book, I think it gives you a message which would be great for adults, too, about the importance of immigrants, what they contribute.
I hope that the story reveals that without anyone feeling that there's a heavy message, but right. It is my family. Experience. And my family was very fortunate, but worked very hard and contributed to the American economy. And so I think in today's atmosphere, this book possibly could be used as a point of discussion. And at the very least, I hope that kids will feel some empathy to the characters, because it's set in time that doesn't have to necessarily cause any issues, because it's in the past. But I think kids are smart enough to understand how some of these issues are still with us today.
And is there anything you wanted to tell us about the research process? Whenever you're writing history, there's a great deal of research that goes into something like this to be accurate.
Yes. Now, that's a long story. I did research off and on throughout the writing of the book. But at one point when I realized I needed to submit with a lot of well-annotated bibliography, I spent an entire year working on nothing but the bibliography. Mm. And so I went back and reviewed all my sources and connected them to the text and, you know, corrected and revised. And so I do feel good about it, because I want to make sure that I didn't misrepresent things. I enjoyed that. I guess that's the history nerd in me. It was very challenging, but I spent a lot of time in libraries. I went to the National Archives. I went to libraries in Michigan. And that was a wonderful part of the journey. And so when I finished it, I thought, well, it's as accurate as I can make it. I'm sure there might be something I didn't get right, but I tried my best.
And how did family receive it? Was this fun for them?
Yes. I think my children, especially, and my husband, were very supportive and went on some of those trips with me. And we found our Croatian home in a very interesting way. This was a trip just as the internet was taking off. So this is quite a few years ago. And I had dragged my kids around on many trips for historical purposes. We, you know, gone to Williamsburg, and we've gone to all sorts of things about American history. So at this point I said, you know, I would love to go and see if we can find the farm that my grandfather was born on. I sort of enticed them by saying, you know, it's not that far from Italy. My kids were at the age where they loved Italian food, and so we arranged this trip. But I really didn't have very good directions, and I was going on an article that had been written in the 1930s that described a lot of the village whereabouts. And I had done research, but no one seemed to know where this little village was. So we get in our car and we drive to where we think we are going to be. And I go into a little tavern, and I don't really speak very much Croatian, and they didn't speak much English. And there was a lot of pointing and gesturing. And somebody jumps into our car and he starts pointing, and I think, oh my God, we're going to be killed. And he takes us down this little dirt road, and a car is approaching, and he leans over, and my husband's driving, and he honks the horn, and the other car stops, and they get out and they talk. And then a young woman comes up to our car and she says, I'm your cousin, follow me. And I thought, oh, this is, they're lying in wait for us. Yeah. These are bandits, and we're going to be, you know, taken into a situation of, and I thought, what have I done to my kids? Oh my gosh, I put us all in danger. Anyway, we go down this literally like a dirt road overgrown, and we come to this little set of houses, and she says, this is where your grandfather was born. And I thought, I guess they think we're really dumb, you know, how could this be? And so people come out, and we're trying to talk to each other. I said, you know, I'm so sorry, kids. I don't know what's happening here. Then this lady goes back inside, and she brings out a photograph that I have of my grandfather and his family. And it's the same photograph.
Oh,
it's
my.
A copy of the book. So that was just a moment of utter amazement, because it really was the house where my grandfather was born, and these were my distant relatives, and it was really quite a moment.
Barbara, that's another book.
Well, you ask about the journey, and it has been a wonderful one. I mean, all these experiences have just added to my enjoyment in writing the book, and I hope readers will enjoy it as well.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
My pleasure.